David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever.
You all in the corner, get up. Everyone in the back, move forward. I feel good. You look good. You guys are amazing. Let's go.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, we're up. How about you? Did you wake up or stay up? Rise and shine. Taste the toxic waste, baby. And, oh, you looking modern this morning, man. You feeling modern? Look at that look. Look at that look.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling modern. I did what you said. I did a little alterations on the beard, man, but I got to get another piece to put the final groomings in.
You totally look down below 14th Street now, man. You've got the look wired there.
Okay, man.
Then to take the hat off, man. Go ahead and take the hat off. We got to see the entire impression, man, the entire. Poof.
Hey.
Animal
hey.
Just took 10 years off and lunged into the postmodern future. Look at that stuff. Be young. How are you this morning? Oh, me too, man. I didn't eat any breakfast either. A cup of coffee and a handful of Tylenol freestyling. Roth Radio. That's B. Young in the background there. For those of you who don't know, this whole show goes off. I do the entire show standing up. So does B. Young. Everybody here is standing. Hutch is on 2 feet here. And all the guitar and stuff that you hear in the background throughout the entire programming is B. Young. He's got the array, the arsenal, man, the enterprise worth of everything set on stun. And I call it track blasting. Blast off, baby. Blast off. Soon we'll be able to afford the entire band, huh? B. Young and I have been playing. What we do, we call it Stump the Guitar Player. All of the loops and everything that you hear in the background is my personal collection. I got to hand it to the Hollander brothers. Everybody over at CBS, these are danger-loving visionaries. Who would possibly hire me to do a gig like this, right? Especially this early in the morning. And they said, you have carte blanche. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew it was French. I knew it was expensive sounding. So what I said is, okay, guys, I'm going to have to be in charge of the content entirely. Perhaps you've noticed during my entire broadcasting career, which now officially is about, what, 5.5 weeks long, you may have noticed that we don't seem to bear a lot of resemblance to most morning radio. In fact, this isn't morning radio at all. Think of it as after-hours radio, baby. And all the tunes that you hear in the background here is my personal collection. All the grooves, all the funk, all the rock and everything like that. And we couldn't figure out a way that we would have a band that would be that diverse right away off the bat. Doing radio is probably the most consummate collection of artistic skills that I think I've ever had to collect in one place. This is the first job where I've had to actually come to a place besides a recording studio, probably 27 years, okay? The idea that you now have to pull everything that you have as an artist into this. You got to watch the TV. You got to know what the music is. You got to love the music. You can't just talk about it. In terms of the guests, you got to know what they do for a living. You got to know what the guitarist is thinking when the loop is playing. You got to have an idea of what's working in the engineering. This is the best job I've ever had, baby said. But it says here in the news that the Van Halens don't have the job that we thought of earlier. A couple of days ago, we had announced on the air here. I said, I don't know if it's true. Guys, see if you can dig up the workup on this. There's a whole sheet of the announcement coming from CBS or whatever. But it was announced that it was a potential for Van Halen to do the Rockstar Show, which is Dave Navarro, and who's, you know, Carmen Electra's significant other. And, you know, Brooke Burke, she's from the E! Channel or whatever that is. Oh, she's great. You don't even have to have the sound on the television set when you see her. Look at everybody nodding. You see all the interns in the background. They look like those little doggies in the back of the automobile where the head just kind of bobs up and down like this. And, they did In Excess the last time, last season, and they found a singer, so to speak, for the band In Excess. In Excess is now traveling. They're touring, and they put out the record or whatever. If anybody out there, you know, we'll just open up the phones because we're freestyling a little bit here. 866-313-3733. If you've heard the band live, In Excess, with the new singer, I'd be very interested to hear how that actually transpired, because I partied with Michael Hutchence a couple of times. I knew his girlfriend at the time, and back in the in the very early 90s, he was a face that was part of the nightclub scene, etc. And, you know, we all miss his sound. You know those songs. I'm curious if you can get past the way the band originally sounded. I'm wondering, for people who weren't familiar with the original band, is the original band good enough now to get a new singer and completely revet the future? I'm wondering if the same kind of a thing would happen for Van Halen if they were going to be doing the television show. But it turns out, as I said, I didn't know, in fact, if they were going to be doing the television show. But if they did, we had a long discussion about it. And, you know, all of you listening called in, and everybody got a little jumpy about it. But here's the latest. CBS denies Van Halen rumors related to Rockstar series. Okay, ongoing speculation. Rock group Van Halen will be auditioning for a new singer on CBS reality show Rockstar. The series has been quashed by the network. Reports earlier this week stated Van Halen had decided to use the show to find a new vocalist. Blah, blah, blah. It's the Rockstar open call schedule. They just handed the whatever. Oh, no, they're quoting me. Tell Dukes he just got fired. Come on, Dukes. You don't read what I said. Hey, welcome to Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea, baby.
Get up.
Anyways, what the workup is that in fact, Van Halen is not going to do it. Persistent rumors that Van Halen will audition are untrue, according to the network. All it is a rumor. We deny it, a CBS Entertainment spokesperson said. Originally, what caused me to bring up the subject? Because I wouldn't solicit phone calls or an idea on this unless there was some credibility to it, is that their publicist was doing what publicists always do, which is we publicize our secrecy. We make sure that virtually everybody knows we're not talking. And Salters, who has been their publicist for a long time, said that he wasn't going to discuss it anymore. So it's kind of like what the White House does. When they go quiet, when they cross their arms in front of them, in front of their chest, Big Chief Indian style, then you go, okay, come on, there's got to be half a truth of a rumor or something here, right? And that's what I went off on. And I said, if in fact it was true, let's discuss it. Says here now that it's not true. It's all a rumor. We deny it. We don't have an act firmly established yet, though. Hopefully we will shortly. Okay. And then they published what we talked about here, you know, that I said they really are going to do it, because I've heard this rumor a number of times. And the most important thing to any musician is getting out and doing what you do. Do you agree with that, B. Young, or do you not? No, it's true. And I have no idea where they're going to go after the last Sammy Hagar tour or whatever. Hey, we got a phone call here. Somebody saw In Excess on Letterman. Dial him in here, Hutch. Jay, you calling from New Jersey? Roth Radio, you're on. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Good morning to you. Did you actually see In Excess on Letterman? How were they?
Yeah, actually, they were pretty good. I was kind of impressed. I didn't watch the show last year, the Rockstar show. And actually, I thought it was kind of BS, actually. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous, you know. They're just taking a spin off American Idol. But I saw him on Letterman a couple nights ago, and before I could shut it off, They sounded pretty good, man. They really did.
Okay, slow down. Now, did they do familiar material, or did they do stuff that you were unfamiliar with?
No, it was all new material, and they really didn't sound like they did, you know, back in the 80s.
Okay, well, now that's what I heard, is that it sounds now like just any other number of bar bands or folks who would be imitating something like that. It's sort of a representation of what came before, and I'm wondering, how many people are in that band? Do you know, offhand, 5, 6 guys?
I think it was 6 altogether.
Okay, well, my analogy that I like to use these days is that when you have 4 wheels, okay, even if you've got a dually, and that's 6, right? when one tire goes flat, the truck doesn't drive right. Even if you replace it with a tire that's kind of the same size, it still's not going to drive right. And I'm questioning now if they still have that signature sound. I'm still wondering if they still have the capacity to do something unique. I'm sorry?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Well, what's pretty good? I don't speak metric. Between a scale of 1 to 10, what are you talking about here?
I'd say an 8.
You say it's an 8, and that it was a solid 10 with Hutchins, but that's pretty good and pretty close there. Have you bought the record?
No, I haven't.
How come you haven't bought the record?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I haven't bought a CD in years, actually. I just I download stuff off the internet.
Do you even know the title of their latest single?
No, I don't know the title, actually, no.
Okay, well, that's telling right there. That's an idea right there. Thanks for calling Roth Radio. We're talking about what's happening in, you know, with the Rockstar Show. And it turns out that, well, it says here currently, but you never know with these guys, that Van Halen is not up for it. And I had said earlier, if in fact the rumor is true, then that's why we're going to discuss this. That, well, you know, we'll want to continue this on. But, you know, we're getting the denials this early here. Hutch, can you go ahead and give us Rob on number 10 there? 866-313-3733. Did you see INXS in Atlantic City? Is that what you say, Rob?
Yes, I did. Diamond Dave.
How are they? Tell me this. Did you see the entire show?
Yes, I did. I work at the Borgata Casino, and we had them last weekend.
And how were they?
You know, they were. The music was good, Diamond Dave. But I, you know, the lead singer, I didn't like him. A lot of people didn't like him. He hogged the stage. You know, even when they did a guitar solo, he was like trying to, you know, upstage the guitarist. It just a lot of people didn't like it. It rubbed them the wrong way.
Interesting. What was his attitude on the stage for the singer? Was he an approachable type, or did he play the Clint Eastwood type?
who was he hogging the stage? You know, and Diamond Dave, can I say something before I go any farther? Can I kiss your ass for a minute?
Well, it's not exactly headlines. Go ahead. No, you know what? Actually, friend, I'd rather discuss this, because sometimes people think that I'm comparing individuals to myself. I love discussing music. I love critiquing music. I love celebrating it, and I love making fun of it. All the same artist in the same conversation, okay? And when we start to discuss me and we start to share with each other something that I've done or perhaps achieved in the past, people think that I'm comparing to myself, and I'm not. I'm in the nosebleed seats. I'm in the peanut gallery. I'm holding the cheap tickets. I'm the guy who buys the t-shirt and then gives it to his sister and then buys another one for his other sister. I'm the one who buys every record, even though I know I'm going to hate it. I'm always going to have some kind of fun with it. So tell me now, did this singer have a voice? Could he catch the notes? Did he have a kind of a wherewithal vocally? Did he sound unique? Tell me.
Yes, he did. He does have a voice. They did the new single. It's called Pretty Vegas, which was pretty decent. It's a decent song. But like I said, his stage presence, you know, is just terrible. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of people said the same thing coming out of the show. His stage presence is terrible. The voice, yes. The music, yes. They still have it, you know, the band, you know, and when they ripped into some of the old INXS songs, they were great. You know, I got a vibe off it, but, you know, he turned me off his stage presence.
Stage presence only comes from mileage, man. You got to put in thousands of hours doing your shows over and over and over again. And when you talk about a band, it's a thing that grew up together. Okay, that's an organic thing. They grew up in the same neighborhood, listening to the same radio stations, eating at the same Denny's at the same 3 a.m. after the show, doing the same clubs, squeezing the same girlfriends, etc., etc. Literally sharing the same cigarettes during the breaks out back by the garbage dumpster. I'm telling you the truth. I lived it. I lived it many, many times with the Van Halens. This is how that band, also INXS, grew up. Same thing Rolling Stones. Same thing U2. Same thing Led Zeppelin. Same thing Beatle. It's a very, very long list of people here. And if you're going to cut a corner and just try and pop in a ringer, you know how long it takes to put together a hockey team. You know how long it takes to put together a football team. You know how long it takes to even establish a good roving youth gang. Come on, you were a Crip animal. You know
what I'm
talking
about.
It takes a while to establish hierarchy and to establish format. And you're only going to learn your groove through thousands of miles of, you know, doing it over and over and over again. And here I think, you know, no matter how good your voice is, if you can't walk it like you sing it, hey, I changed that, that's a remix, then you're missing half the show. Do you agree or you disagree, friend?
I totally agree, Dave. I couldn't say it better. And by the way, California Girls is one of my favorite all-time videos. You rock, Dave.
Thanks. By the way, I was going to say, now that the conversation is over, feel free to kiss my ass, man.
Okay, let me kiss your ass a little bit. I just want to say, Dave, that when you came out with Van Halen, there'll never be a Van Halen without you, number one. And number two, when you came out with California Girls, I had just discovered my body. And when I saw that video, and you were just absolutely the coolest thing to ever walk.
Well, now you can watch it on your cell phone, and we can be together forever. Thanks for calling Roth Radio. I'm not going to give out the phone number anymore. Anyway. Okay, somebody's got info on the lead singer here. John, he's calling in, 866-313-3733. That was a great phone call. DavidLeeRoth.com as well. And it looks like people are sort of waiting up here with the emails and stuff start piling in from around the world before we even do the downbeat now. People are on the phones. They don't care. They just want to argue. Perfect fans. All the way from Denver, Colorado, Montreal, Quebec, Andover, Mass., Lancashire, England, and South Philly. Been there many times. Okay, go ahead and dial in, John. He's got info on the lead singer.
Hey, John.
Talk to me.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm extraordinary. I'm feeling winterly this morning, Fred. What about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I watched that whole show, believe it or not. I watched it for Brookberg. Just don't tell my wife that.
Okay.
But the thing is, I seen it in Excess Live with Hutchinson. I seen him with J.D. Fortune. This guy is trying to impersonate Michael Hutchinson in a way that is so pathetic. That if someone was going to try to impersonate you, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's okay to have an influence because we all start off imitating, hopefully, a bunch of people. If you imitate one person, then that's really glaringly easy to see through. Did you see the Grammys? Did you see the Grammys, my friend?
Yes, but here's one thing for you.
No, I'm not finished. Hold on. Did you see the fella from Coldplay imitating U2? The band was imitating U2. The singer was imitating U2. The stage moves looked like U2. And it's very easy to go, U2. But when you watch, you can pick a number of bands. I don't know. Trent Reznor's obviously stealing from 9 different great bands. And it's really hard to see the weld marks. It's like really, really good plastic surgery. Hey, if it feels good and it looks good, it is good. Do you agree or not?
I absolutely agree. Now, the thing is, you don't know about J.D. Fortune. He performed in Vegas for many years as an Elvis impersonator.
Okay, well, why am I not shocked? Please continue. Go ahead.
My whole point to this is that watching the show, it was pathetic because they put females on there, and it was obvious they weren't going to pick a female.
Yeah, you know, that they're tipping a hat to the third world, I forget what you call it. There's a secondary agenda here. There's a third agenda. You don't want to upset the women, but of course they're not going to pick a woman for that job.
That's the reason why my wife watched the show.
Oh, okay. Well, then they had a good point. Then they leveraged themselves into a good audience. All the more is their achievement. I reverse my position. Of course we know that they're not going to hire a chick for the gig, but they did a really smart showbiz, a really full of larceny, deceptive thing. I'm very impressed. Okay. Thanks for calling. Larceny, deception, chaos, panic. My work here for the first segment is done, Hutch.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Diamonds are forever. They're all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line,
This sounds good.
Your hands are tight, but you're losing grip quick.
In excess.
Just make a new redesign.
This is great.
Coming your way to Vegas, dirty, and dreaming of the other side.
Man, it's
save me your time.
tears and laughter, because it doesn't matter what you find.
Chorus.
It ain't pretty.
Roth Radio. You're listening to the XS single there. That was In Excess. That sounds great, man. He's got it. That's got a good vibe. Okay, there's 19 influences in there, but he's just getting kicking off there. He's got a great voice. Good Matt, job. You said you saw him on the TV set. What show did you actually see him on?
I had the benefit of seeing him on Letterman and on Regis Philbin and Ripa yesterday
morning. Okay, now this is a telling test, okay? Because if you have three different programs, especially if they're in the morning and different times of the day or whatever, consistency is a big issue. Anybody who goes to a lot of shows will tell you this. Consistency. How do they sound? Because everybody will have a bright, shining moment every now and then, okay? Tell me, between the three shows, how would you rate it? Go ahead, man.
It sounded exactly like the record. The morning show sounded like the evening show. The kid was great singing.
Okay, yeah. And all three of the shows, he was consistently right on time?
Shockingly consistent.
Give him shockingly consistent. Give me the track there, baby. Yeah, swing it off, I say. Big shout out to the kid in Access, huh?
He was great.
Now, that's a great one. And that we don't have another track of that. Dig up another track off the album there, because that first part up there has a really good sound. And if he's sounding good, then okay.
The band was thumping.
Well, okay, then that's another critical part right there, because the bands don't usually age very well. These bands usually turn into rockers with walkers, okay? And it doesn't have anything to do with chronologic, what's on your wristwatch. It's got to do with how you lived, how much you made a commitment to what you do as a musician, you know, how many times a day do you actually pick up the instrument, how often do you guys get together and do what you do, go on an op together, so to speak. And you're saying that the band was totally tight.
100%, man.
Oh, you gotta love that. You gotta love that, babies, yeah. 866-313-3733. Sounds like In Excess is doing good, man. Go ahead. Number 10 there, calling in from Boston. George, you're on Roth Radio. How do you feel?
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you guys doing?
Extraordinary. Did you see this band play?
Yeah, I seen him, Dave. He's the lead singer's good. Very good. I think the band's tight, but I tell you right now, if they didn't sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, he'll be solo in 6 months.
You think he's going to go off right after this tour?
I think this is just a stepping stone for his career.
You know, well, obviously it's a stepping stone for his career, but is that evident when he's on stage? Because when people start showboating,
right,
it becomes real evident. I did a thing with, what was it, Lean On Me. Who was that gal that I sang with, Matt? Do you remember? Natalie Cole.
Natalie Cole.
Okay. And it was for a charity event.
You got that on? You don't have that on a CD, do you?
No, hold on. It was a live thing that we did on stage. You know, B. Young was there, some of the other fellas, and there was David Foster was on the piano. It was an all-star cast. $1 million benefit for, I forget.
The Race to Erase MS.
Okay, the Race to Erase MS. This was in Beverly Hills. It was a huge black tie affair. I came out, I sang California Girls. We did Jump, whatever. And then Natalie Cole came out. And we did Lean On Me, you know, that song. There you go. See, but now you're working with me. And what Natalie did was she decided not to work with me. We started off facing each other,
really?
You know, doing the old Neil Diamond faces, Barbara Streisand at the Grammys kind of a thing. And I go, you know, Lean On Me. And
why
I took a step towards her, and she turned away from me and marched right up to the lip of the stage. And all I saw was her big, cute little ass for the rest of the song. Now, don't get me wrong, because I really wanted to lean on that ass. And in case you'd wanted to lean on me, I made my face available. But, you know, by the end of the song, she had achieved greatness, at least in her mind, and we separated. Well, that's my love life, too, but that's what happens frequently when you get a character like this fella in Excess. Do you see that on stage, or is he actually working with the band?
He does a good job. He does a good job. He, you know, he works. He knows how to work the crowd because he's a young kid. You know what I mean?
How old is a young kid?
I think he's in his 20s anyway, you know, mid-20s. He's got to be 25, 26 years old. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, those aren't young kids anymore.
you're right, I guess. Compared to the band members, he's a young kid, you know what I mean?
Okay. Does that work in contrast well together, or is it glaringly evident?
I think personally, I mean, that's my opinion. I think he's just going to do a solo gig, unless they locked him in for a few years, you know?
Oh, you know they locked him down.
Probably,
you know,
5 years. And then, you know, the kid that came in second there, the blonde-headed kid, he's backing them. Like, he's opening up for them.
So that's the farm team, huh? I assure you.
So like, it's like CBS is, they're parlaying the whole package, you know what I mean? They're all profiting money off it.
Oh, of course they are. They're in business to do that. And he probably got locked down in a major Count of Monte Cristo kind of a production deal. And he's going to have a great story to tell. It'll probably drive him to have a small but manageable drinking problem. But that affords him better lyrics.
It's probably going to be large and uncontrollable.
All the better stories in Page Six. Thanks for calling. We're talking about the fellow who's doing the singing for INXS, and if anybody's actually seen the band. Maybe Brian up on number 8 there, Hutch, has seen the band. Did you see INXS, Brian? Have you seen them?
Yeah, I saw them, and the only thing that you can really notice in between the correlation between the band and old band members who you see in the videos and everything is everybody in that band has got the gray slicks going through their hair, and then you see this one kid in the front not doing any of the Dave kicks or any of that stuff, but he's shaking his little butt up there like he's like, you know, hey, you know, I'm the best-looking guy on this stage right now, and all you girls really want me. And as far as the grandfathers on the stage, they could take the leftovers. That's the impression I got.
Okay, well, the idea that we're here for the girls and that we are girl-positive, girl-friendly, I call it, is always a subtext. And it's always been a subtext of all my favorite music, whether it's pop music or hard rock or country or anything in between. But when you wear it on your sleeve, it's kind of like a girl who got her breasts remade and they're way too big. you can't sort of avoid past it. Not that you would want to, but that in fact, it's the first, second, and third thing that you dwell on. Again, you know, it summons up to me the chorus, "Lean on Me." Maybe that's just my foul sense of humor this early in the day.
To lean on her ass.
Yeah. But you know what? That playing to the girls is an important part, and you can always tell which bands are playing to the girls and which aren't. Okay, the guys who put their arms in the air and they make the fist, as soon as you see armpits, that's for the boys.
Yeah.
Now, see, I rarely do that. See, I always keep my hands down, and you kind of move little Elvis first, just like that, see? And then you move them back, and you attack from another angle. You see, you can't see it, but I know that y'all can feel it. Look out to the right. Boom. Look out for the jab. Boom. Well, there. Here comes the right cross. Boom. Like that. See, that's girl positive. I know you couldn't see it, but you could feel it. Watch for that on television, because as soon as you see some middle-aged dude who's been going to the gym 3 times a week after he got out of rehab because of his wife, you know, helping him through it, then they will always wear a muscle shirt. Okay, you have to be at least 44 years old, and you can't shave your shoulders, and you got to wear the muscle shirt, usually black, okay? And you come out, and they'll spend most of the show with their hands in the air, Ozzy style, you dig? But most of Ozfest is dudes, and everybody knows that. It's the guys who are pretending that they're playing for the chicks, and as soon as you see armpits, come on, how many guys are going to stand on the side? Animal, you have worked in my favorite watering hole in all of the world, Crazy Girls, in Hollywood for a number of summers. Agreed?
That's correct.
Okay. And if you saw some dude standing on the side watching the girls dance and they put their arms in the air and they went, yeah, do, yeah,
oh, man, that's every song almost, man.
And do those guys get the girls?
No, they don't. Because, you know, like, they ask me a question. They, like, they be coming in. I was like, I just say, hey, man, what's going on with the girls in here? I said, can we get lucky in here?
No, and you know what it is? It's too much armpits.
Yeah, I tell them, I say, you're going to get effed, but you ain't going to get laid. That's what I tell them.
Well, this is truly Animal's house this morning, isn't it?
No, and I talked to Gino this morning. He said Sting came in and requested your favorite seat.
Oh, captain's table.
Yeah, and then Gino said, well, hey, this is Diamond Dave's seat, but if he was in town or whatever, you're going to have to give it up. And he laughed about it, and then Christina Aguilera came in.
With Sting?
No, he didn't say they came in together, but she came in and everything, and he said she was looking very hot, but she done lost a little weight, too, you know, so I don't know what that's about.
Well, she just got married or something, didn't she?
I think so.
Okay, well, she's adding up to it. She's got a repeat audience. She's got to do encores for the same audience over and over again, so she's watching. He's talking about Gino, who owns the actual Crazy Girls.
He told me to tell you hello, and he would love to give you a phone call here sometime or another, let you know what's going on there, and they remodeling the place, and they're going to try to upgrade it, because topless is obsolete now. The tops is not coming off anymore.
Oh, really? It's now a bikini bar situation?
Yes, sir. So they got their...
Slow down. When did that happen?
That happened last summer. We lost a lot of good girls, too, because of that. Because they weren't making that money that they wanted. Because guys said, well, hey, I can go to the beach and see this. You know, I want to see some, you know.
Sure. And now they can't take any bikini tops off at all.
You cannot.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
That's interesting
correct.
Because everybody thinks of L.A. and Hollywood as Babylon. Yeah.
And the thing is, you can go around the corner to our other club, and they 18 and over, they taking everything off. Totally new.
Yeah,
but
they don't
have alcohol.
They don't sell alcohol, and that's where Jude Law hangs out. That's right across from. You have the Seventh Veil around the corner,
that's
the one that shows up in Entourage in the credits.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one.
See, I was thinking of the Body Shop.
Oh, that's down further.
I was talking about the Body Shop, which is across the street from the Chateau Marmont.
Hotel. Yeah. Okay.
And that's where Jude Law got popped with the brunette that he's supposedly not squeezing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, page six. You know what I'm wondering here, Roth Radio? You're listening to David Lee Roth Worldwide, davidleeroth.com. I'm wondering, how is it, maybe this ties into what we're talking about in excess here, because, you know, this kid auditioned. It turns out that he was an Elvis impersonator. Doesn't that qualify as a professional? No, really. If an Elvis impersonator who's been working for a living in Las Vegas, okay, it's an honorable profession. He's certainly not the third guy to do that. But isn't that a professional competing in what's supposedly an amateur form? Go ahead. Be young. Go ahead, man. Weigh in on this.
Well, is there a rule that they couldn't be professionals?
I don't know, but I would think that there would be a rule against that. Maybe not, but I would think that that's the standard. No?
I don't think NXS would want a guy that's never... perform, you know, professionally at all.
Yeah, but doesn't that a real professional, somebody who really has the distance, Brian? Okay, I'm talking to the guitar player here. Brian, for somebody who really has the mileage, who really has the technical know-how that only comes from that distance, doesn't that just waste the chances of anybody who's an amateur? Really? I mean, isn't that the theory of why you would become a professional and spend so many years pursuing an art form that could potentially destroy you? Think about it. How many musicians actually survive their careers? Why would you pursue that unless you got better and better and better and better, is my thinking there. And if you're that good, doesn't that destroy the chances of any amateur up there who's basically just been singing in their house or something? Animal, what do you think, man?
Well, first of all, how long was he doing this on stage in Vegas? You know, like, I think you have to put some time in it to be... before you can call yourself a professional, don't you think?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, they're not going to hire you in Vegas unless you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
David Lee Roth, столько силы. Вы можете ее почувствовать. Это чистая сила. Radio Roth, 6 a.m.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth. Somebody should be recording these moments, man. These are the Paul Schaefer moments. When you come back from the commercial, some of these are the best parts of the show. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah. I just saw some porno out the window, man.
You just saw what out the window?
I just saw some porno out the window. I just happened to look out and saw this beautiful girl getting dressed. I had to like, whoa.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the fake Paris Hilton getting ready to come in?
I don't know. It could have been. That's why I was late coming back in here. I was like, whoa, that's an eye-opener.
Okay, because we have Natalie Reed, the fake Paris Hilton. She's coming in at 8:15, 8:20 in the morning here, okay? So don't go away because I think this is better than the real thing. What do you think? Is it better to have the fake Paris Hilton or the real Paris Hilton animal? What do you think,
man? If it's good, if it look good, it is good.
Okay, because I'm going to ask her, what's it like to be Paris Hilton? And Paris Hilton would never tell you. Paris Hilton is being Paris Hilton for real. But the fake Paris Hilton is going to know. The fake Paris Hilton is going to have experienced exactly what's going on in her life, right? And then she'll be able to tell us. Because this is the chick that they can hire to go around. I think this was the one that I ended up sitting next to at the one fashion show that I went to, okay? I sat down in the front row, and this chick was sitting there. I really thought that this was Paris Hilton for a minute.
And then I got a good look at the legs, okay? And I have memorized Paris Hilton's picture, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Those were not her legs. Okay, so I spent the rest of the evening. Let me back up here. You guys know that I never ask questions that I don't already know the answers to in a business meeting. And people say to me, Dave, why do you do that? I go, so I can tell what you look like when you're lying to me. So I had a really good time watching all of my real good friends who knew that this was the fake Paris Hilton pulling a little bit of a punked on me, okay? Because I know the gossip photographers, I know the writers, I know the people who work for the newspapers and everything, and they thought they were pulling it on me. They thought they were punking me. Hey, Dave, you want to pose with Paris? Whatever, right? So I spent all my time watching their body language. And now they're...
I never thought of that. I'm going to try that sometime.
No, really. That's what you do. If you're going to have some kind of a business relationship or you really want to test some people or you're in doubt of somebody or whatever, don't ask questions that you hope to really get the answers from because you're going to be dwelling on the answer. Only ask questions that you know the answer to. And then if they lie, you watch the body language. Why? Because now you know how they look when they lie. I've got a producer here who only makes direct eye contact without blinking. He only takes his arms. They're always crossed across his chest. He only drops those arms to look relaxed, and he only stops fidgeting when he's lying to me. Oh, yeah. And this subject comes on the heels of I was talking about with the Black Crowes, you know, that they're going to be doing an acoustic thing. You know, the two fellas, the two brothers from the Black Crowes. I hope we can get them on the show, actually. That'd be a perfect sound for this. Let's get them to play some songs when they start their tour here. And I recollected that back in the early 90s, when they first started off with my then manager, his name was Pete, that they were working out of my office for a while until they got their whole situation, their first record out and everything, right? And Pete said, Dave, would you please sit down with the guys and, you know, talk to him about how to deal with the press, how to deal with the media. Maybe this is a lesson Paris Hilton needs to know. Maybe this is a lesson that the fake Paris Hilton would even need to know more. And I shared yesterday. Did I just hear a girl's voice in the background?
Wasn't me. Well,
that was Paris Hilton.
It's the ghost of Paris. Nevertheless, I recollected yesterday, and somebody asked me on the email here just to refresh what we talked about. I said there's three ways. This is what I taught the brothers from the Black Crowes how to deal with the press. And I said there are three ways to answer any question. The first goes like this, and you got to decide what you're going to talk about first, okay? And I'll give you a demonstration. The first answer that you give to any question would be, great question. I think what you're trying to ask me is this. Now, I'll show you how to work this into your conversation. You can use this with the newspapers. You can use it with the radio. You can use it with television. You can even use it with your parents or your loved ones. Don't try it on your family pet. They don't have enough attention span. Your parents probably don't either, but this could work on your sister. This could work on your brother. Watch. You say, the first thing that you say is, good question. I think what you're trying to ask me is this. Now, watch. I'm going to talk about surfing, okay? And you go ahead and ask me, Brian, go ahead and weigh in on this. Ask me a traditional rock and roll question here that somebody would ask of a rock and roll performer in a band. And I'm going to talk about surfing no matter what you ask. Watch this. Go ahead.
So, Dave, when are you guys going to be hitting the road?
Good question. I think what you're trying to ask me is this. What is it that encourages me to leave home the most? Because going on the road is a lot like surfing. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get. You paddle out there. It's a little dangerous. Some great-looking chicks. Some of your bros are out there. You could get killed. Probably not, but maybe. And when it's all over, big party afterwards, just like surfing. I could run for governor on that one, okay? Now, the second thing that you do is... Are you memorizing this? Pay attention, Hutch.
I'm taking notes.
Your wife may be taking notes also on the other end of the radio here, so it doesn't work if they know this. If you go home and the first thing your wife says is, good question, Hutch.
I'm done for.
It's like Elmer Fudd looking down the barrel of his musket, accidentally pulls the trigger, and then his head is all black and smoking, and he's got, and his eyes blink three times before his skull falls off. You know, see? Hey, don't make fun. I feel that way till lunch every day, man. Second way that you do this, and this is what I taught the fellas in the Black Crowes. We sat with each other for about 45 minutes, an hour, one day in the office, and I said, okay, here's the second way that you answer any question. Figure out what it is you wish to talk about first, and no matter what question they ask, you can answer it this way. Number two, here I go. It's called Good Question. Before I answer that, let me say this, okay? And I'll show you now. I'm going to talk about surfing. Brian, ask me another typical brain-dead rock and roll question of a rock and roll person, and I'm going to talk about surfing no matter what you talk about. Okay, and what was it I said before I answer that? Let me say this. Is that correct? Okay, that's here correct. We go. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, let's hear some of those good groupie stories.
Okay, that's a really good thought. But before I answer to that, I would like to say this. Because groupies are a memory that you collect like the best waves that you've ever surfed, baby. Oh, yeah, you'll never forget the best ones. You'll catch a lot of waves. Oh, yeah. You decide to be a surfer, just like a rock and roller. You're going to be out there a long time, but it's only the best, smoothest, most curvilinear, feminine, dangerous waves of consequence that you're going to use for your drinking stories later. Okay. Now I already did the first one, which was good question. I think what you're trying to ask me is this, right? Second is, before I answer that, let me say this. Okay. And the third one is good question. Well, I forget. Let me count up. He goes, I don't remember.
Does it start with good question?
It always does. Well, that's the way you run the press. And this is that's how Paris Hilton should be running her press at this point. Actually, that's more how the fake Paris Hilton should be running it. Natalie Reed is the fake Paris Hilton, and she's going to be coming in at about 8:15 this morning. Also, coming in at 8 o'clock. It's a toy world after all. We got John Waterhouse from the Atlanta Journal, and he's in town for the Toy Fair, which is over at the Javits Center here in New York City. Everybody's dueling around with the toys. We brought in already a bunch of the remote control cars and safari mobiles and the robots and everything. Everybody's going crazy out in the hallways. So if you hear what sounds like a reprise from our relationship columnist from New York Post talking about vibrators, those are actually toys now. We've become toy dependent. Anyways, he's going to be in at 8 o'clock and probably demonstrate some of the stuff. They have the toy fair over there happening. So, anyways, Paris Hilton, designer Julian McDonald, and heiress Pilton. Hey, there you go. I'm a celebutard. Don't blame me. Heiress Paris Hilton were pelted with flour by anti-fur protesters. I'm going to want to hear about that. I wonder if anybody's pelted Natalie Reed. That could be Paris right there. It's just, every time I bring this up, this could be an interesting thing here. Anyways, are we still concerned about the vice president? Do we still care?
Well, they're still talking about him on the news a lot.
Okay, but what's the element there that they're whining about what now? That he didn't tell everybody soon enough?
Yeah, that's basically it.
You know what? I want to talk about that a little more after we get to this, because I think I have a better idea here. We've been talking about the In Excess guy, okay? And we're talking about the Van Halen routine here. I just heard on the news, on the TV set during breakfast this morning, that American Idol outshone the Olympics. Something like 6-1 or something like that. Six viewers to every one that's for the Olympics or something like that. I think this bears some discussion.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.